Welcome to Compassion Radio 360. Morning, honey. It's time for Compassion Radio's 360 program. It's the end of the week. I'm thrilled that this week we have an especially inspiring and encouraging story. We like these good news stories as often as we can find them.
Absolutely. I love this story because it's about music, and you and I love music.
We met that way.
We met doing music, singing, and it is just very inspiring, but it's also about something very close to both of our hearts, and that is the plight of the refugees. So it combines two of our loves together to bring this great, encouraging, positive, lovely story that can, I hope, inspire all of us to get involved somehow.
For the most jaded among us, we might jump into the story and say, well, what's the point? Why would this person expend all of this energy to do what he was doing? And did it really make a difference to anybody? And is the quality of what he produced at the end of this even worth bothering with? So it's like saying you start a writing club because you love to write and you gather around people who are excited about the idea of writing but don't know how. And they end up producing a whole lot of stuff that's very exciting to them and abysmal writing to everybody else. This is the potential of where this story is going, but thankfully it didn't end up that way for a couple of really key reasons. But first of all, let's introduce the article.
This is a story about a young music conductor who was visiting Sweden and he was in a train station. And as he was in this train station, he began to see young men and women getting off the train, was curious about who they were.
He was not one of the locals because he's South American. Here he is standing with all of these fairly northern Nordic people who tend to be more blue-eyed, more blonde than most of the average in the world is. And then suddenly everyone at the train station kind of looks like him.
And they just looked exhausted. They looked like him, appearance-wise. But heads down and sad, and he thought, what's happening here? There were people greeting these young people getting off the trains, handing them out tea and bananas and water, blankets and things. And he said, who are these people? He was shocked to see them. He was told that they were refugees coming from Syria, Afghanistan, minors, mostly unaccompanied.
That phrase, of course, caught my attention. The idea of Sweden facing an onslaught, so to speak, of unaccompanied minors. They're not really unaccompanied. They've been sent there and they've been watched over by the UN agencies that were dealing with refugee issues and asylum requests on the other end of Europe. Where is the safest place to send young people who do not have a family network, who do not have parents with them, who are escaping an active war zone in Syria and other parts of the world? So off they go on these trains.
They're without their families and maybe don't even really know each other. They have no friends. So they are essentially alone. And this young man's name was Ron Davis Alvarez, who saw them. And he asked someone on the platform, what's going to happen to these boys mostly? Where are they going to go? But no one really knew. And as he sat there watching, he just had this burning in his heart. He said, I have to do something somehow to help. They're alone.
And many dangerous and beautiful things have happened because people have asked those kind of questions of themselves.
Yeah. There was a key phrase in this article that you drew my attention to that you said was like the crux of the whole thing. What was that phrase?
One thing was different about that moment on the Stockholm train platform. Alvarez was there watching and he had an idea. The idea would change his life and the lives of hundreds of others who he hadn't even met yet. It would take Alvarez and his message to stages across Sweden and across the world. It would make him a better teacher. It would inspire him with hope and fill him with fear. And it would give lost teenagers something they thought they'd never find.
So what does he do? He comes up with this crazy idea, and at first, no one really supported him.
But he's a conductor, and if any of you out there listening to this program understand what conductors do with orchestras, they don't just wave their arms and get them to start and stop. Conductors develop musicians. They are there to bring out the very best of the potential of the people that are sitting in front of them. And a great conductor learns to draw out all the potential in the people that he's been given. Alvarez didn't have that option. He had a dream of being gifted these people and giving back to them. But this thing, this organization, this orchestra did not exist yet, except for the germ of the idea in his own heart.
So I think this would be a good place to talk about where Alvarez came from. He grew up in Caracas in a slum. So he was a very underprivileged, poor young man. He experienced this poverty and he knew what it was like to be hungry.
And that's even before the regime came and destroyed the economy and the political system of Venezuela. So he's gone through a number of traumas, even in his own life, watching his country fall apart.
Well, he joined this organization called El Sistema when he was a young boy and he learned to play the violin. Now, El Sistema is an organization that was started back in 1975 by José Antonio Abreu. And he is a musical conductor. He's a pioneer in the field of youth orchestras.
Yes.
And he started this program in Venezuela to help underprivileged youth like Alvarez.
Yes.
So it was not funded through the Ministry of Arts and Culture, but through the Ministry of Social Services. Mm. So it emphasized a community-centered approach in getting the whole community involved. And it had social services, focus on teaching and food security. It wanted to encompass the whole child, not just parts of the child.
So the arts are part of this then.
Exactly.
Yeah. How many human services departments of different states in America even bother to think about art and beauty as something that actually develops a child into a viable and contributing adult in society? Yeah. We used to have mandatory art and sciences together in our public schools. That's fallen by the wayside, and now it's about sports and science and technology more than anything else for the arts, which to me I think is a loss. And our generation grew up with things like theater programs and orchestras and bands in our high schools.
Yeah.
But in Venezuela, it didn't have much of that at all, so it had to be started somewhere. And the arts ministry, as I understand it, in most South American countries are basically patrons of the arts. They develop the orchestras and the operas and the higher-end musicianship of the professionals. They don't spend a lot of time working on the development side of things.
Yeah. Well, it started out as a classical music program. And as it grew, it developed into more genres, traditional Venezuelan folk music, jazz,
catching all of that
rock and
culture,
roll.
Yeah,
it was open to all children, regardless of background or their ability to pay. So it was completely funded by social services. And it gained international acclaim like very quickly. Other countries were saying, how can we do this as well?
And apparently it produced one high quality conductor who's sitting on a train station platform in Sweden now.
Exactly. In the year 2000, it started branching out and came to the U.S. actually in 2009. The New England Conservatory of Music is a big part of this as well. And they have programs like this all over the U.S. This young man, Ron Alvarez, was greatly influenced by this program, and he kind of grew up in the ranks and became one of the conductors that would travel around the world and develop these programs in other countries. That's what he was basically doing in Sweden. He was there to develop this program.
And think about that. Our first impression of Nordic countries is that they already have everything they need. There's no poverty there. Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is there's poverty all around the world. Not nearly on the same degree or magnitude as southern countries. The global south having their problems of that scope does not mean that the northern countries on this planet are devoid of problems.
Yeah.
And to be invited by a very well-to-do government, proportionally, you know, the GDP of Sweden is very, very high in the world. But that doesn't mean that they don't have issues they want to address. They did want to reach out to the lowest of their society, and they had the means to do it. So who are you going to invite to do this but somebody who really knows how? Someone who's got a great track record.
They had focused on younger children enrolled in Swedish schools. But when he saw these young men pouring into the train station, he was so moved by this. The problem was that they were older, you know, 15, 16, 17 years
old. Beyond the scope of what he was already being hired to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people would say, oh, that's too late. They're too old to learn how to play an instrument. Alvarez said, no, that's not true. There's a different way to do it, but it can be done, and I'm going to do it. So he went through official sources trying to find these young men, and they were hard to convince. They said, these guys need food and shelter. We need to find them jobs. There's more important things than teaching them how to play an instrument.
You know, most first world countries that are hosting populations of refugees now, like in Poland or Germany dealing with Ukrainian refugees, and even America dealing with other refugees coming from different places like we do, we want to solve the problem for them if we care at all. But we don't necessarily want to say, oh, come be part of us. We want them to be taken care of and then go home. That's a very normal thing in most societies. And it was the same thing was true of Sweden. We're here to help these refugees because they need help, but not asking them to transform our society. We're not asking them to move into our neighborhoods. We just want them to be taken care of and not be a problem. We want to make sure that it doesn't turn to a crime problem in our country by making them even more poor. Noble as that is, this kind of has a one-dimensional approach to refugee care. there are other people that go deeper under that and say, you know what? The best of societies happen when they mingle well and learn to live with their neighbors well. And of course, we know now that the world is our neighbor. Whether we like it or not, the entire world is known to us and we are known to the world. So they would, I think, assume that a program like his would help those refugees where they are, in their schools over in that part of town, take good care of them, treat them well, and when they're ready to go back, they'll be gone. That is at the very base level, I think, of human response to a crisis like this.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training and theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are.
And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160. Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
And of course, we know now that the world is our neighbor. Whether we like it or not, the entire world is known to us and we are known to the world. So they would, I think, assume that a program like his would help those refugees where they are, in their schools over in that part of town, take good care of them, treat them well, and when they're ready to go back, they'll be gone. That is at the very base level, I think, of human response to a crisis like this. He saw more than that. He saw that they could become instrumental in caring for the heart and soul of the world by being involved in the arts. And then from this place, that Sweden would get great credit, really, the society investing in these people, which would have world-ranging effects. That puts Sweden at the thrust of the spear here in transforming problems that lead to crises like this.
Alvarez, when he wasn't getting the support that he wanted from official channels, decided to visit schools and just offer this opportunity, trying to drum up interest. And eventually, he recruited about 13 from Afghanistan, Syria, Eritrea, and Albania to start with. Now, that's a big chunk of the world there. He called them the Dream Orchestra, and he found some instruments, and he brought them to this meeting place, and he said, I came into the room, and there was a lot of girls and boys, and I was very nervous. He said, I just came with the instruments and said, okay, guys, we're going to have a concert in 2 weeks. And I remember all of them just wide-eyed looked at me like, you're crazy.
This reminds me of a scene from The Music Man, the musical. He just said the impossible. There's no way these people who know nothing about music are going to learn enough about music to even play a melody, much less present to the world who pretty much knows arts. You know, most people in Europe have been exposed to the arts over their schooling and in their culture. There's lots of orchestras. There's lots of choirs. There's lots of music.
Yeah.
There's festivals like crazy. So he launches into the impossible project. And how do the kids respond?
Well, they thought he was crazy. They didn't all speak the same language. Most of them had never played any kind of instrument before. They only had one thing in common. That was that they were immigrants, asylum seekers, searching for home. That was their common ground. Yeah. He himself was an immigrant now into Sweden, coming from Venezuela to start this program. But he was excited about this.
Who else is going to believe in this program more than someone that's just like them?
Yeah. He asked one of the young men, Mustafa Kazemi. He said, what instrument do you play? And Mustafa said, I've never played any instrument. I don't play anything. And he said, what would you like to play? So he looked at the instruments there and he picked, of all things, the cello, which seems really difficult to me.
And big.
But it's beautiful. Alvarez said, great, let's learn it. Yeah. This young man was determined and Alvarez believed in him. So Alvarez taught him to play the cello.
Awesome.
Now he's one of the major members. This was about 8 years ago that this happened. Yeah. This young man has grown up through the ranks into this beautiful group of people in this orchestra. There's over like 400 kids involved in Sweden alone. Wow. And some of the parents that have also since immigrated have joined and become part of this, not just as supporters and transportation helpers when they travel, but actually playing and learning to play instruments themselves.
So it's become a family thing for those who have families there. But the important thing for all of the kids is that whether or not their parents ever made it out of their countries with them, they are now part of a family.
Yeah. Alvarez saw that it began to build confidence in these young people who had had their heads down, just focused on where they were stepping next and not looking anyone in the eye. They were lifting their faces up and seeing other people around them and saying, no, I have a friend that I can bring that they would love this. One of the boys was asked to join and he said, I'm not doing that. That's classical music. Yuck. I don't like classical music. It's just, you know, for old people, basically. So finally, he was invited to see one of the performances and he was stunned. He said, I saw my friends sitting up there next to people from a different country and they're laughing with them. They're talking and smiling. They're playing instruments. And he thought, I want to be part of that. So of all instruments, another one that's very difficult, he decided to learn to play the French horn.
And anybody who knows much about brass instruments, if you want to choose an instrument you can get by with a little bit of experience, it ain't the French horn.
Right. Yeah. He said so many times since he left Afghanistan, he felt like people had demeaned him and underestimated him. I could tell that Alvarez believed in me before I even played a note.
Yeah.
Just by the way he talked to me.
Yeah.
So he started out playing the French horn. Then he switched later on to the flute because he liked the sound of the flute better. Yeah. And now he is busy playing the flute other places.
Oh.
He's grown up in this and he plays in other venues and other concert things that he does too. So he is making a way for himself.
Yeah, it's not just a hobby anymore.
Right.
But people who actually get good at what they're doing and end up liking what they do in music a lot and say, you know what? I could make a life out of this. And there's plenty of people who've gone on to become music teachers or performers in studios or in orchestras that said, I got my start because someone bothered to teach me how to play an instrument. And from that, I learned how to love music.
Yeah. Well, now he's 25 years old and married. He has a young son who he loves to play the flute for. Mm. He is a job coach helping other refugees find work in Sweden. He plays music all the time. He is releasing a Dari language hip-hop album now. So it's a beautiful thing, and he's come full circle in his life here.
And affecting his culture at home with a worldview.
Yeah.
That's awesome. A couple of scriptures came to mind for us, and before you jump into the main one, I just think about this whole love idea. You and I have been to many concerts of orchestras, and I've learned to watch the orchestra faces as much as I do the instruments and what they're doing, because I've learned that I can see what the conductor's expression is by how it's reflected in the faces of the orchestra. You know what his intensity or his joy or his levity or his seriousness is by the way not only they play, but the way their faces respond to his face or her face. There's something about that reflection that I see in an orchestra. You say, I know that conductor's doing this or acting this way because of the way they respond to it. In the best orchestras, you see the highest respect for those who lead them, and you know that the conductor is respecting them. If you're maybe a young or aspiring or hopeful musician yourself, and you see that happen, I can understand why someone would say, I want to be part of that. Mm-hmm. And with these refugees, it's on a whole different level because this kid is watching people just like him. How did they form this camaraderie? How do I become part of not just of this music? How do I become part of them? And that one scripture that says, they will know we are Christians by our love comes to mind for me.
Yeah.
In a day of strident politics and the ways we're being jostled around and used for other people's purposes, can the church recapture that kind of first love, which is so intense for each other that other people look in saying, I have no idea what you're about or who you are or what you believe, but I want in because I see the way you treat each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's so many scriptures about care of the downtrodden, the care of the refugees and immigrants. We could spend hours searching the scripture to find appropriate ones. But the one that really stuck out to both of us In Psalm 68, it says, God sets the lonely in families, and he leads out the prisoners with singing.
That's a great phrase. There's music in there. There's love in there. There's a sense of belonging and a place, groundedness. It contrasts itself with other things. Those who don't live that way, who run away, who rebel, they end up in wastelands. These young men, especially, but other girls that are part of this now too, have stepped into something which is, even if they felt like they were entering a wasteland when they left their country, they've stepped into an oasis.
Yeah. Well, many of them come from a wasteland, obviously, in coming from the countries that most of these young people came from, were desolate, so destroyed by war and famine. And they come into Sweden, which is beautiful, lush. I mean, we've been there. It's a gorgeous country.
It's a land of plenty.
Yeah. And so seeing where they've come from in this desolate place and coming to this land of plenty, but they're still lonely.
Exactly. Well, the point for me is that wherever you go, when you had to leave what is home to you, even if it was dry as a bone, if it's green where you are now, if it's not home, there's a desolation. You're empty of the heart, even if you're standing in a land of plenty. So these people have been brought into plenty amongst themselves. Their souls are full so they can see the beauty around them and bring beauty to other people.
You know, honey, I think this is probably one of my favorite stories that we have shared with our listeners because it is so full of hope. And it reminds us that we can do so much for others with just a tiny bit of empathy. Just seeing them where they are and hearing their stories and giving them opportunity to thrive and to succeed.
Yeah. Making a choice to do something.
Yeah.
Ron Alvarez, as it says in this article, had an idea. Yeah. And you and I have talked about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit a lot. If we actually walk in a way where we expect God to show up and to reveal himself in the situations, in our own hearts, and the people around us, if we're looking for God to show up, because he is already there, of course, it's just us that's blind to it most of the time. But when we choose to say, God, I want to see you in this, he does it.
Yeah.
He reveals himself. And if we ask God to show up or reveal himself, strange little ideas will pop into our mind sometime. If you're already starting from a baseline of, God, what do you think about these things? And what should I see here? That's an answer to your prayer when a new thought comes into your heart and mind that you were not expecting. This is the Holy Spirit having dialogue with you. So even if it seems strange or out of ordinary, I've learned to take pause and wait a second and say, God, is this what you're telling me? And if so, what does it mean? What do I do with this? Now you're in a conversation.
Yeah.
And you start pursuing something. And I think people in this world, even if they don't consider themselves very spiritual, have this innate sense of listening for the good that is behind all these things and entertaining a new truth when it comes to mind and doing something about this. Ron Alvarez is that kind of guy for me. Yeah. He looked at what was in front of him and he saw into the people. And within microseconds, he had empathy enough to say, I got to do something. And then a thought comes to mind. It's an idea. Yeah. And then he moves on that idea because he's already seen people transformed by the power of music, power of community.
He himself has been transformed by it. The things that God has used in my life to bring about real change and opportunity are ways that I can pour into others as well. There's a quote at the end of this article. One of the kids in the orchestra says, we are not case numbers. We are not names on a list. We are people who bring different knowledge, experience, and opportunity. And we have a lot of dreams.
Yeah. Oh, to have more dreams.
Yeah. At one of their concerts, there were Nobel laureates and locals, and they're in the side of this auditorium, and it's on national Swedish television. And the first tune that they're going to play is a familiar Swedish folk song. The title of it is, I'm going to try to read this properly. It's in Swedish. Vem kan segla frutan vind? It means who can sail without the wind. Its final line, as summarized by Alvarez to the crowd, says, you can sail without many tools, but you cannot sail without crying when you say goodbye to your friends. These young people have had to do that, and now they're embracing this place.
Friends, it's a great story. We'd love to have you read it and follow up on what's happening with this organization. And a link to that article that we've referred to in this program is on our website in the podcast page of this program. Just go look for this program that we're calling Dreaming of Music and so much more. You'll find that on Compassion Radio. Thanks for joining us today. And we'll see you Monday for the next Compassion Radio, Chasing the Word.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps,
or providing training and theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before.
So call us today at 1-800-868-2478.
And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
Or give online at CompassionRadio.com.
We need you, friend, so contact us today.